Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the Explicit Measures podcast with Tommy, Seth, and Mike.
Good morning. Good morning. Tommy, you want to do a jig?
I'm just switching around. I'm trying to touch screen and change everyone's position on the screen. I feel we could do a jig. I'm up for it.
You're up for a jig?
Well, I mean, what today is, it's a big day.
It is a big day. We have... I can't believe it. You know, sometimes you start something and you're like, oh, this will be fun. This will be interesting. I'll just kind of, you know, go along for the ride. And here we are sitting 300 episodes deep. We've been pretty consistent. I don't think we've ever missed a week since we started. And we've planned out somewhat accordingly. So that way, even if we can't be there, we'll record some episodes beforehand. But we've been doing this for how many years has it been, Tommy?
3 years.
Is it really 3 years?
It's been 3 years. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I know it's 300, but that's...
May of 2021 is when we started.
Hang on.
Is that really true?
Yeah. Wow. May 4th.
Yeah, the beginning of May.
So,
yeah. Oh, yikes. James, you're so funny. Okay, so Tommy, as soon as Tommy was like, three heads coming up, he's like, Sparta!
Bro, you want me to keep my shirt on.
Okay, yes, exactly.
You want us all.
Yes, I was heavily Googling thumbnails of Sparta 300 and trying to find a scene of three ripped men on the front of the picture with, and then we would replace the heads with ourselves, and so it would be amazing, but it would be just lies and false lies, so we're probably just going to do something a little bit more tame.
He's right. We should have had AI generated images with our heads just like punched through.
Exactly. Cool. Maybe I'll see if I can find an AI generated image of a group of Roman soldiers who are incredibly handsome and well spoken of data intelligence.
I don't know if I would Google or AI that, but
inappropriate on both accounts.
Mike, when we started, you had the Sparta beard.
I did. I had a Sparta beard. Yep. It's the wife doesn't love it so much. She likes the no beards. So we have caved. Usually in the winter, I kind of grow it out. It's actually really nice in the winter. It's actually way warmer. I remember whenever I would get rid of it in the winter, I'd walk around the house and going, man, it's like so cold in this house. I can feel the wind.
Well, so what are we doing today?
Yeah. So the main topic for today is we're going to just do a little bit of reflecting. We're going to go back and we're going to be introspective. We're going to think back about how the last 300 episodes went, and we're probably going to pick on each other a lot. I think there's a lot of teasing that will be commencing against this episode. No major, there may be some BI and people and process topics that come up throughout this episode, but we just want to kind of highlight the amazing momentum that we've gotten through the podcast. And to be frankly honest, like, we would be having this conversation, but it makes it so much more enjoyable with the community behind everyone here. We really appreciate you, the community. Like, the community is amazing. I believe all three of us started our MVP career just by enjoying the community so much that we dug in, we wanted to get involved, we liked helping other people, and we wanted to find like-minded individuals around data and business intelligence. So I've been very encouraged by our community and wanted to say thank you. I really appreciate all the users who have regularly shown up and listened to us.
I concur.
That is a great point. I was just talking to someone yesterday and they got a promotion and they're doing great where they're at. And just like, what was your background? Because the thing that I'm always, I think, going to be marveling at is none of us came from a Power BI college background. There's no education for this. We all came from very different backgrounds, both from skill, what I think we intended to do when we were in college, and probably when we just started out too. This was not even a dream that, oh, I'm going to be in data analytics and business intelligence when I just started out. And this tooling, this platform has changed our lives. And just because of the community, just because we have found a passion for it, I mean, we've all found jobs in it. We found this amazing community in it, and we're doing a podcast off of something that, again, we have no college degree in, and no one does. And that is just, to me, I'm always going to marvel at that, how this one thing has been able to change all of our lives.
Yeah. I, as an opener, I like Mike's sentiment. You know, it's interesting, you know, as we go reflective, and I there are still several people, I think even in the chats today, that were part of us this entire time. So a big thank you, because it does. It enhances the conversation. It's a lot of fun. This is a conversation that could be happening in a vacuum, but
it would always happen. We would be doing this anyways. Like, we would be arguing about this stuff. However, Tommy does say this is his therapy session.
Oh, absolutely.
We've actually had some comments, I think, even in the last episode, where folks are like, thank you. Thank you. Somebody understands data and my problems and the struggles that we go through. And there is a bit of that, right? Or the frustrations. But I think to Mike, your point around retrospectively looking back, and like, there's 300 episodes, like 3 years blew me away. Like,
it doesn't feel like 3 years.
Right. But in the way we recommend people to just get started, if you have an interest in community, in speaking, like, be part of an event, meet people, right? And there was this big dip with, you know, obviously a lot of things going on in the world and all those public events shutting down, but we're opened up again. But like, my point in here is just start somewhere, because you don't know where you're going to end up. And like Dory, right, just keep swimming. And all of a sudden, like, we're 300 episodes in. We still have plenty of stuff to talk about.
And
it's all still very relevant, right? So it'll be interesting today's conversation to see, like, hey, have we learned some things along the way?
Definitely not.
Still feels like a lot of these topics were just yesterday, but they were not. They were a long time ago.
Yep.
So, yeah, I like the tone.
I think a good place, and if you don't mind, I'm going to bring us down memory lane for a little. And for users, maybe you're a little new, like, why did we even start the podcast in the first place?
I feel like I need a sound effect for that. It's like the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-
after 300 episodes to introduce.
Or maybe it's an episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood where the little caboose needs to come out and the little dream starts happening. And this is Tommy when he was a little BI.
Little BI guy.
A little BI developer back in his early days.
That's hilarious.
He had a 14-inch computer screen and one mouse. Only one monitor was used to make amazing reports.
People where you couldn't three monitors.
Where you had no formatting of anything.
So we were all going to do a hosted user group, and we were going to get a phone call for 5 minutes. I remember I was outside. Dochier just passed through the Midwest, so we had no power, or the big storm passed through.
Sure.
And I was going to jump on the phone with you guys. We're going to do Milwaukee Tool Chicago user group thing. Supposed to be on the phone for 5 minutes. I come back around the corner. My wife was like, "Where were you? That was an hour." We talked for an hour on the phone, and it was supposed to just be logistics. And we just had the most enjoyable conversation, talking a little about Power BI, talking a little about life. And I just remember telling my wife, like, I need to do that again. I don't know how, but I need to talk to them again. Like, I was like, that there's something there. And we just started talking after, like, we need to figure out another way to have that conversation. We talked about the podcast. We had some names. I remember my name initially was Coffee and Calculated Columns. Glad we didn't go that way.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
it's a good name. It's a good
draft.
Name.
It's a draft.
It was a draft. It was an early version. And it's why
brainstorming.
You know,
create. It's part of the creative process.
Yeah,
it's just like how you create a report. Just get something out there. Just get some reaction to it. And if the reaction is not right, just kind of refine it. Sand it a little bit.
We talked about what the format would be, and I knew we were onto something because I think it was probably like the 11th episode or the 19th episode. It was supposed to be just about data flows in the service, and me and Seth got into it and just talking about where does data flows roam. And I'm like, and I just remember thinking after that episode, I'm like, there's something really here, because who's arguing about data flows? Who's having a, this is like, and I was heated.
Everybody,
I remember
Tommy, everybody does.
No, absolutely not.
I'll also say this.
Yeah.
A lot of podcasts that I hear are people interviewing other people, and we've tried to stay very clear away from interviewing people. We make a couple exceptions for Microsoft employees because I think it's really important that we engage the Microsoft team and get their voice out to what they're looking for to build inside, you know, the Fabric and the Power BI ecosystem. But in general, you know, a lot of what comes out of this is we're trying to deliver, like, these are things that we've struggled with. These are things in our career. These are things that we've worked through. These are things that the podcast is meant to be around our experiences. And Tommy, I really love your comment around, like, just getting started here, like just getting in, getting moving. It has changed our careers. And I think we've all seen people that we've interacted with or have engaged with where they've listened to what we're saying. They've kind of spent time, learned the skills, studied up a little bit. And I've seen a lot of people that I've worked with where they've moved up a role or two, or they've moved companies because they outgrew where they were and they need a company with a different culture. It becomes so much more apparent when you have that I would say, joy and engagement with that level of development on people. It's really exciting.
I think one of the things that hasn't been mentioned, and while these conversations were enjoyable, Tommy, I think to me the most important part that was a driver, because having a podcast or doing something was kind of a thing Mike and I had talked about in the background, but man, that's a commitment.
It was. Right? We were scared to do it. To be frankly honest, it was a scary thing. I'm like,
because this,
how are we going to find time? What are we going to talk about?
But I think what was a main driver in being like, okay, right, Tommy, we met you. There's definitely a different type personality that to sink in, right?
And I think that's a nice way of saying it, Seth.
But, well, we all, boys, I don't know if you've noticed.
Have you seen Tommy's a little different?
Have you talked to me? Like, all of us have different unique personalities. I think what I'm saying is between Mike and I, we're different, way different. You bring a third different type of personality. Regardless, I think what was important to me was it wasn't just a natural flow of conversation which happened, but it was the value. It was the outcome. Every time Mike and I talked to each other, like, there was always a bit or something that I was like, man, that's a really good way to think about things. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go use that. And
diversity of thought.
And this is, I think, also where we take ideas from people who do great work. Kurt Bueller, you know, like people posting things, different thoughts, different experiences, and we run them through the blender. And more often than not, I hope, right, we come out with different ways of implementing something, thinking through a problem, outlining or highlighting something you may not have been aware of. And what this does is it creates a place where I'm constantly learning something. Yeah. And that was the main motivation behind me getting into community and doing presentations. And I think we adapted, I think, while all the shutdowns of everything were happening, and we found a place online that actually has a much larger reach than we would have been able to do just doing presentations or trying to teach people things, because there is just an amazing amount of nuance between the three pillars, right? People, process, and technology. And if this podcast even helps out a person, right, in navigating those waters, it's worth it.
And
us doing that in the public forum, I think we all felt was like we thought was going to provide value. I'm super excited that it seems to have, and I'm glad that, you know, we've kind of created this oasis where people join us in these thought explorations, and it's been a ton of fun. It's still going to be fun.
I think you hit the heart of the podcast too, and why we really started, besides just to goof off and have fun. If there's anything,
that's really the main reason why I'm here. I'm really honest.
That's part of the therapy. Yeah. So you're not always laughing at 7:30 in the morning like this. But
I will admit, the days that I laugh more in the morning is a good day. It definitely helps ease the tensions going into the rest of the day. So get it.
Are you laughing at us with
I'm
us?
A different one.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The answer is yes to that question.
I'm just laughing the most after the podcast. Did you hear what he said? No. But I think you hit the nail on the head is the different opinions. We learned very quickly that no matter what the topic is, semantic models, data flows, implementation, there's not one perfect way to do it.
And 100%.
I think there's great community on how to do something. But the fact that the three of us can have a single topic around adoption and argue and have a difference of opinion going, no, I've seen it different, or I wouldn't do it that way. And here's why. And I think you realize very quickly in this space, this is all the things we struggle with too. It's like, oh, I can build a rapport and people will use it. You know, why aren't they using this? What are the different situations? And I think for anyone listening, you've probably gone through that too. And we are constantly going through that. There's not a one size fits all for anything in Power BI. Yeah, there are best practices, but there's so many situations. all of us have different backgrounds, from consulting, from enterprise, from everything in between, that you realize very quickly, oh, just because I had this idea and this worked in this one situation, wow, Mike really disagrees with that, or like vehemently disagrees with that. And then we get into it. And I think to me, that has been one of the best parts of this, is I come into these conversations with an opinion, with a thought process, and I learn very quickly, yeah, open up your mind. There's a lot more to this.
Yeah, that's, I really, this has been super sweet. I'll also say, so I do want to maybe change the tone here slightly.
Sure.
I'd like to get into a little bit of like all the funny random phrases that we say, and what are the quirks of this group here? Because we do have a lot of quirks across amongst our group here. Yeah. And you know, we have phrases. You know, Seth is known for his way of like, he just is like silent half the episode. Like the coffee starts, he's dead silent until like 30 minutes in. He's like, I have one thing to say. And then he drops in, and he drops in with his knowledge bomb. And I'm like,
the episode's over.
By the end of Seth's comment, around, you know, 45 minutes in, I'm thinking to myself, I don't think I even know what reality is. I think I've actually done this all wrong the entire time. I think I was all wrong from day one. Like, I thought I knew what I was talking about, but then Seth drops some stuff in here. I was like, he's made some really valid points. So I just want to talk about, like, you know, just kind of the interaction and like what we observe of other people and how that's kind of shaped the fun, and or, you know, it's part of who we are. So Seth, thank you for coming in and jumping in with all of your knowledge bombs. I do appreciate that. I do appreciate the coffee hitting when it does. It's fun.
I want the community to chime in here too. What are you guys seeing?
Yeah, what quirks do you see in the community? Who has the quirks for the? I'm sure I've got a number of quirks here as well. Tommy, what else do you have here?
I can go. Tip, like I would say, 8 out of 10 times when Mike starts talking, I just have a scratch pad and start white. Like it's the parking lot conversation of all the things we're not talking about, so yep, I can bring it back to the conversation with, like, or they're all good points, lots of talking points,
just has no bearing.
We'll
to
come back
to talking
right
about
after that.
And that's me too. Like a lot of times I have a statement and Mike's like, all right, I'm going to translate that for myself and for everybody else. That's usually a good filter. But yeah, Seth, anytime you're at minute 39, after you talk, it's like, all right, let's do final thoughts because there's nothing else to say. That's good. Well, I guess that ends it. But no, I mean, some of the biggest ones that we've had, obviously, Game Changer. That's one of the originals. If you're an OG to the podcast, Game Changer is one of our big sayings. Happy Tuesday on every Tuesday, not missing a beat. Parking lot is a big one. What is it? Mike DiCarlo?
Yeah, that's actually stuck, I think, fairly well. I actually have clients now calling me Mike DiCarlo now because of that. Really? Yes, I do. They're like, I think that's funny that you're Mike DiCarlo. All right. Well, they obviously listen to the podcast, so that's what I'm now known as.
We talk about food a lot.
A lot of food. I think that comes from Tommy, actually. So I wanted to make a comment because if Tommy's in on one thing, Tommy's in on betting. But Tommy likes to bet. And I can't remember. All the bets that have come from the podcast have originated with Tommy, and they're all bets around food and usually cannolis.
A lot of cannolis. We've done a lot of bets on steak and cannolis. I'm gonna put this together because it's true. To wrap those two things together, put your money where your mouth is. Okay.
Right.
Because here's the thing, you're not going to be willing to spend dough or dollars on something that you don't see the value in. A buddy of mine, we've done this for years. Like, how much would you do that for? Would you do it for that much? And I think that's the same thing, is there's a dollar value to everything. Not to be so cold, but at the same time, yeah, if you're going to be willing to bet something, you're willing to say that you believe in that. So let's see how much you do.
See how much? How firm are you in your understanding of things? And I will admit, I think of the people who have lost the bets as much as we have on the podcast. That's me. I've lost all. I lost really? Almost all of them.
I thought you were
pain.
Up.
That was the filter pain.
Now, I'm pretty sure I've lost a number of bets. I've definitely paid out a stake or two to Tommy. I'm sure of that so far.
Yeah.
Somebody in It's Not About to Sell says, are you all going around saying one nice thing about each other? We're like, no, man.
We're just going to tease each other the whole time.
I
that make good content,
Tommy
though?
Yet. I haven't teased
Tommy yet.
I haven't
messaged you guys.
All right, go ahead. Hit it.
Okay, go ahead.
I just want to say that I appreciate Mike, because he is the translator sometimes for Tommy, because sometimes Tommy goes on a rant and I like there's a disconnect between brainwave patterns between me and Tommy. And I just sit here and I'm like, I don't know what you just said. And like Mike picks up on this and goes, Tommy, that's a really good point. I think you've added like two or three different ideas here. Here is what you said. And I'm like, thank you, Mike. Like, that's very helpful. That makes a ton of sense.
If I go on rabbit trails, Tommy hops on a horse and just rides off into the woods sometimes. I don't know how you explain it, but I do enjoy it. I mean, all these ideas are great ideas. And so like, this is one of the reasons why I enjoy the podcast is I like being able, we come in a lot of times with a topic, and we just take the conversation where the conversation goes. Again, pulling on our experiences, pull what we think is relevant to the conversation. But a lot of times we divert. We go on these tangents and these trails, and I think it explores these other sides. It doesn't have to be always so structured and so metered all the way through. It's good to take a couple rabbit trails. But to your point, Seth, you bring me back to the main points here fairly often, and I like... That's just how my brain works. I like diverting off into like various areas. I like kind of like, you know, taking the idea and trying to explore and push on it a bit more. Because I think that's probably part of how I learn a little bit, actually. I think I like that seasoning. Yeah.
A little spice.
A little bit of salt down there. What's the guy?
Emerald?
Is that the guy?
Salt-bae.
Yeah. He's the guy who does all the salt on the sticks.
I mean, I'll be honest. There's sometimes a disconnect between the head and whatever comes out sometimes. I know I'm off topic. I'll say something. I'll go, that was good. And you guys go, okay, moving on. I go, crap. Or Mike will tell me after.
Bartlett is awesome comment. Seth and Tommy are on the same frequency, but 180 degrees out of phase. And Mike serves as the phase inverter.
There you go. That way we stay on the even path, right? If someone doesn't pull back on the other side of things, it doesn't get balanced.
The best
thing
that we do is we pit each other against each other during certain conversations. Maybe. We start seeing where our opinions lie on a topic. And if I notice that Mike is agreeing with me, I'm going to egg Mike on a little, or I'm going to egg Seth on a little.
I've seen you egg people on. Yeah, Tommy's divisive. If anyone who's egging things, it's Tommy. Yeah. He's pushing people different ways.
Well, Seth is the one, as soon as he differs with someone, he leans in, has a shoulder.
He's doing it right now. He's doing it right now.
He's got an elbow on the desk.
He's in attack mode.
Do that and see what you think, even though I know the answer to this. You better get this right. That's basically
right. That's the leading question.
You guys have called me out. Like there were a couple episodes where that worked out, where it's not all the time though. Like if I start asking leading questions, you guys are always on the defensive question immediately. Here. They're like, uh-oh.
We made a mistake.
Guys, this isn't one of those.
Bail, evacuate, you know, get the ejector seat. We need to get out. Collision imminent. What's the robot from Lost in Space? Danger, Will Robinson. Will Robinson.
We've had a very healthy, I think, balance of being either ganging up on each other or having the different opinion. It's not always the usual suspects of a topic where it's always like, oh, it's Mike against Tommy or Seth against Mike. Where I think it seems to always rotate. Like we have a topic. All right, this episode, Mike and Seth, you're going at it. It just seems to very naturally occur. And then whoever's the third wheel just picks a side and leans in.
I think that sounds fair.
So let me ask you guys, if you were to look back at where we started, the outlook on the podcast, and I actually went through on some of our more dynamic episodes back in the day.
Does that mean more arguing, or does that just mean more dynamic?
Well, some of them were for arguing, but they're always, the best episodes are the ones where we disagree, I think. But
I would agree with that one.
Naturally. But your outlook, I mean, it's amazing how much this platform, and I think even our outlook on a lot of our opinions, our way of we thought that the tooling should go, it's probably changed incredibly in the last 3 years. I mean, look what Power BI was in 2021. The Microsoft Ignite was talking about automated insights. That was the big deal. And goals and scorecards.
Are we still talking about automated insights? Isn't that still, we're still trying again? What year is it? 2024, and we're still saying Copilot's going to show up and do things. For... I think we're still talking about that one, Tommy. I don't think it's changed.
Well, like scorecards was one of the, I think the biggest dividers that we had where I was like, this is the game changer. This is the game changer. And deployment pipelines, I think, also was a very relatively new too at the time.
I agree.
So let me ask you guys your outlook on business intelligence, this, the industry and organizations, how much, or let me rephrase that. How has your opinion or your outlook changed on business intelligence as an industry?
As an industry? Well, let me, I have to give you my perspective, I guess, maybe from where I came from is where I came from the business side of the world of things, right? So I came from a, here's your Excel file. Maybe you have access to the Access program or you have, you know, been given that, but here you go. You know, my world was, I don't have access to the source systems of anything. I can't connect to any database. I had to just figure it out from data dumps or extracts, or if I was working with a third-party tool, I was just lifting data out of there and trying to shape it into something that was useful. So I think from then to where we are right now, the business, I mean, we said this earlier on, we want the grow-up story of Power BI. We wanted to go from, it's just a business tool that someone's making some models in the business that's easy to use. It's kind of a clicky, draggy, droppy experience, to borrow from Christian Wade, clicky, clicky, draggy, droppy experience. But to go from that to where we are now, I'm just seeing a huge amount of what I'm going to call democratization of data engineering, BI, development, like all these really rich tools that were traditionally only locked in the central IT or central BI space have now been given access to a lot more business users to develop and build their value. And I think, honestly, Microsoft acknowledges this is the trend that's going to happen. There was also like a whole bunch of like, it's the low code, no code solutions, right? Microsoft's going to continue to give you a code solution under the hood. But on top of that, there's going to be a UI that does 80, 90% of the stuff that you really care about, right? So I think that's the trend Microsoft is developing. I think a lot of other companies are also innovating in this space as well. It's going to continue to happen. That's going to be the direction we're going to go. It's going to be these lower no-code solutions. And I really do think, especially like when I'm looking at my children are thinking like, what careers do we want to do? They're going through end of middle school, rolling into high school. They're trying to figure out what they want to do. And every one of them are doing something around like, you know, computers or the STEM side of things. And that's very intriguing to them. But I even look at this going, when Copilot gets there, I mean, it's amazing after a year and a half of kind of seeing it kind of get matured a little bit. What happens in the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years from now? What will this look like then? How much more, how much less code will we be seeing? So in computers in general, it started out writing the actual code, the numbers, the letters, the you punch cards in and that's how you program things. Ever since then, it's gotten more abstracted, more abstracted, more abstracted, more abstracted. And there's less and less and less need for us to actually write the code. And I heard the guy from NVIDIA, the leader from NVIDIA was touting the fact that your kids will not need to learn how to code anymore. There will be communicating with AI things and those will be building the code pieces for you. So our generation is the generation of coders that are building the AI for the next generation to never code. So I don't know how this is going to all play out, but I think it's just going to get more and more interesting and we're going to get more and more power to those business users to go find insights and manipulate and work on top of data. That's what I think.
See the big pause, big intake of breath.
I was going to let Seth just really
big intake of breath. No, I agree. I would
30
say
30 minutes in, the coffee is now hitting. So this is the time, Seth. This is the time. Drop it in here.
How has business intelligence changed over time? I think
since we started,
I don't know what I think. Cool. I would say a lot of the same problems, different ways to solve them. So some better, and some have created more problems for us in terms, mostly in the process and people. Right, because when you throw more technology at people, we're just trying to adapt. So innovation has just, you know, like is now on that like Uber curve again with AI. But if we're just comparing like 3 years ago to today, you could still argue that while Power BI has given, you know, that speed to business users and the access to data and quick insights, Fabric is is in the infancy of just probably accelerating that even more to remove the storage constraints and the discoverability of things. And if we look at how some of the AI engines work, it all revolves around, where's the data? Does it have access to it? Can it make it useful? So if the pivot is there happening, like that's happened within this last year. But what probably more profound to me, and I haven't done any like fact check me on this, but Power BI as a technology and a tool is the de facto conversation point in like a ton of conversations I have with people.
Oh, totally.
Right. It is the adoption curve on that. It is unlike, and I think supersedes any other BI tool out there. Right. So that curve, I don't think has slowed down at all. So what's really exciting is, I think 3 years ago to today, it's everywhere I go. When I have conversations about data, Power BI, like people know what Power BI is. Right. And they can talk about how the tool has transformed their business, or how recently I ran into a guy. He's like, yeah, our entire company, they're all Power BI. Everybody loves it. I hate it. And I'm like,
welcome to my world, oh, dude.
You know why? This came up because
that's amazing.
At a 40-year-old party of a guy. I'm older than that, so it was his 40th. And I'm wearing my Power BI Tips beanie.
Oh, God.
And he's like, and he looks at it.
Oh, but the
recognition, right? Yeah. Oh, Power BI. And I talk to him, I'm like, well, what do you hate about it? Oh, just as Power BI. Him. And I'm like, do you know how to use it? No, Power BI, right? So I'm like, okay. Like, do you manually? So then you start talking about what they do on a daily basis. I'm like, are you manually generating files and, you know, doing all this stuff? And yeah, I'm like, call me. Give me 30 minutes, and I will show you how this changes your life, and you'll love it. Because it's just the resistance to a new technology. Not this specific technology, right? It's just you're not adapting and changing, which I think is a comment I'll make later, but adapting and changing and learning a new tool. So Power BI, as we know, changes how businesses work, and the level of entry, to Mike's point, is so low that people see the value right away when they invest time in it. And that's extremely important when people are adopting a new tool.
I love that. I do have to make a side comment. As you're talking about this conversation with the guy, the way you're talking sounds like a microphone fell from the sky and you just started going, hold on. You were literally went into podcast mode with that guy. Well, tell me about what is your problem? No, but I think those are
scary.
What you're saying, though.
You know,
swinging out the table. Yeah. Hold on, let me get in my mode.
Excuse me, hold on. Let me put my elbow on the desk here. I'm gonna lower my voice now, and I'm gonna talk to you like I do on the podcast.
So yeah, that's what's not like about it. Well, and for me, I think the biggest thing I found is the technology is always gonna get better, and it's already great. But I think the one thing I have found, if I were to think of my outlook 3 years ago, it's the people that is the most essential part of this. And it's not the data analyst. It's the people buying in, not just to the idea of Power BI, which that's what I always thought is this adoption of Power BI, but it's the adoption of context around their data, not just getting a sales report. Not
culture.
Just getting, right. The culture
is so pivotal in this.
And to me, if I were to look back at where I thought Power BI was, or business intelligence was, to where it is now, it's only going to work if people are willing to accept that they have pain points. It's only going to work if
they're willing
to accept that, you know, that they have context that they need to really strive for. It's not just enough to say, I need access to data. We're well past that. That's not a conversation anymore. I can get you wrapped in your data in a week. And honestly, regardless of the source, in most cases, but the harder part, and what people have either a harder part willing to accept or willing to understand, is, can you give me context around my data? Can you give me the context? Can you help me understand what should I be looking at and how should I be looking at it? And I think, to me, that is the biggest change. If you don't have that, it's a non-starter. Mm-hmm. And no matter where we get with the technology, you could have Copilot built into you already have it into your phone. It doesn't matter at that point. And so for me, that big change is, do you have the right people in place?
Yeah.
There's so many thoughts around this one. So, I think a lot of this is, I think people, when they I want to go back to Matthew Roach's comment or article that he talked about, right? The two-edged sword, that he just recently wrote out. And I just want to kind of put just a quick note on that one. Just the BI tools are like this two-edged sword that he describes in his most recent article. And I think he did a little video on it as well, but really good points. If you don't know how to use it, you will get cut. If you do know how to use it, it can be an incredible tool to be powerful, and you know, you can use it to do certain things. Now, I'm not sure if I agree with like the whole like, you know, swords and fighting and killing people. Like, not necessarily that one I'm trying to point out there, but like there's a lot of things that if you don't know how to use it correctly, it will be dangerous. And there's a lot of things if you use it correctly, it'll be very beneficial. And I think this is again one of these things. Like, if you don't understand the value of it or the opportunity that comes with it, maybe you need to dig in a little bit more. Have an open mind. And I think one main thing I'm trying to pull out of the podcast here, I think for me, has been I really want to make sure people hunger to learn more things. Like, that's one of my core things. I want to understand your perspective. And I have to be comfortable with people coming in with different perspectives and saying, I don't agree with what you're saying, but help me understand where you're coming from. And I think it's okay. There's been a couple times on the podcast where we actually had to say, look, we're going to just agree to disagree. And I think one that makes good TV to some degree, right? If everyone agreed about everything, it would be like, we don't want to watch this stuff. But I hope that we've have enough like differencing of opinions here that are like, there's actually some thinking through and bashing the ideas together and kind of, you know, mulling through the ideas here that makes us useful. And I really do feel like, for us, this has been a learning experience for me, and I'm trying to take everything with, you know, everyone's got different experiences. Use this podcast as a learning platform or a launch pad for you to learn more things or accelerate you or energize you to learn more stuff.
Yeah, 100% on board with that, right? Like, why do you read
books? You're supposed to disagree with it, Seth. That was my point.
There goes the listeners.
I should have just said, I agree. And then silence, right? That makes a good podcast.
Or arguing that way now, are we?
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going to give you the silent treatment on a podcast. That'll go really well. Mm-hmm. Sorry, you were going to say.
Well, no, like it's, you read a book, you watch a video, you do something to learn, right? Conversation is also a way to learn. And it also, in a very real-time way, because as long as you're open to new ideas, whether or not you agree with them, like I said, countless times when we're having these conversations, I am 95% of the time writing something down in notes that I'm taking to work the next day,
yeah,
or I'm going to implement in my team. I can't tell you the value I've brought to my business by having this conversation. And that, I think, is the value for listeners as well, is like there's this opportunity to join us early in the mornings on Tuesdays and Thursdays and ask questions, submit a question, right? And or be part of this conversation, but also listen and be part of it. Because we're picking topics, we're talking through the different points. We don't always agree. We have three different perspectives. People have their own, but it's that mishmash of ideas that is how people adapt, take new ideas, and implement them for themselves. Like, I can't tell you how many I've had conversations where people are like, "Oh man, I implemented this idea at work and it's working fantastically, but it's not mine. I read it in like this other person." Yeah. So
that's a good point.
Yeah, who cares? It's working. Of community is taking and adapting ideas that you've learned or heard situation to solve it. And this is that, you know,
combination.
Combinator, you know, like however you want to, like you're cramming in all these ideas. The collider, where reactions happen. Sometimes they're
I like it. I like it. Sometimes they're not. We are the collider of ideas.
We're a reactor, right?
Yeah,
maybe throw in different elements.
That makes me think too. Yeah, there's a Jerry Seinfeld bit, and he's with a bunch of comedians, and he says a joke, and someone goes, "That's really good." He's not making like trying to say a joke, but something funny. Someone's like, "That's a good bit. Are you gonna use it?" He's like, "Use what?" "Well, he just said you're gonna use that on stage." He's like, "That wasn't a thing." He's like, "Okay, great," and he just walks away. And I think a lot of times we're sharing these bits that I can't believe how much I use from this whether or not I think I've come to terms with agreeing with you guys or not, there's been some where I'm just like, that's actually, when I think about this, really good. There's been easy ones. The people process technology, I would have never gotten if it wasn't for this podcast, from you, Seth, the idea and saying the word, and I say this all the time with clients, is the word empathy and how important that is there. But there's the other things too, where I've changed my opinion and also really focused on, is this idea of the self-service compared to the centralized BI. I came from a more centralized BI, so that was more, I think, was comfortable.
Oh, it
with.
Shows, Tommy. It definitely shows.
It's changed kind of thing. I allow people a little more access. They can build their reports now.
Well, to give you a lot of credit here, I came from the business world and I was just like, ship it, everything out the door. Like, we don't need IT. Like, I don't care. And so Seth has rubbed off on me that way, in the fact that he's like, look, we do need some process rigor here. You can't be whipping reports out the door to executives and having them break halfway through the day because someone did something weird on the back end. Right. And I think I could also speak very candidly here and say, Seth has also gotten to the point where he's not like, so like IT owns it all. Like, I mean, you 100%. Came from a very central SQL world and you're like, you know what? The business does come to the table here with some good things. And so I think you've also softened your stance. So I feel like in general, we've all had a bit of changing of perspective because we've been able to listen and understand and implement or work through particular challenges as we've unpacked each other's thoughts around how this stuff should work, which I think is healthy. I think that's healthy to do that.
Do you think that's changed your outlook on your future career? And I think from the, like, all the things that kind of you're talking about, Mike, does that change your outlook, not just on the industry, but on where do you see yourself in 10 years on, oh, what do I need to learn? Where do I need to focus my time? Or what do I want to do? I know it has for me.
So is this Tommy, are you looking for a cut? Is this you need to cut a revenue now? Is this what we're trying to get? No.
we have established that a long time ago.
Tommy, I think you've impacted me by like 15%. So I
all right, I'll Venmo you.
I'll ask for the request on money. So has this conversation, so I'm gonna roll into that comment something else that I think I had an epiphany with throughout the episodes we've been doing. There has been times when I've been talking with clients about things, and in my mind, I hear myself saying what we just talked about on the podcast to them and emphasizing, again, a lot of the questions start with, I have a technical question, help me get this thing, challenge, whatever, fixed. And what we roll into is, we really don't understand what we're doing. We have a people and we potentially have a process problem that's going along with the technology of the Power BI thing. And so I'm asking different questions now of that person, team, business, consultant, whatever the thing is. And what's happening is, I believe they're resonating with the output of that story. And so has this podcast changed? Yes. And probably about, I would say maybe like 100, 150 episodes in, somewhere around that time space, I started thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm having conversations on the podcast that I'm actually reusing them inside. And I've even had people come into conversations like, you said on episode da 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 about this thing that really resonated with me. And like, I've had people regurgitate. I'm like, man, I love you. Like, I'm all happy that you got a little thing out of it, but I've done 300 episodes of this. Like,
which one?
I can't remember what I did yesterday or ate for lunch yesterday, let alone 300 episodes ago, what we were talking about. Like, principally, hopefully I was saying the right thing in the right direction. Like, hopefully I was going the right angle here, but I've used what we've had here in conversations. And I think I'm going to continue to refine my ideas, my perspectives, and what we're doing here, because I think this is, again, it's a continual learning experience for me.
Yeah. And I agree. So dovetailing onto the outcomes of not just writing down actions from podcasts and implementing them. Like a specific example of that is the creative episode with John Cleese, where Tommy, you came up with like all the one-liners, like the representation of like how many whatever does it take to change a light bulb. So I took that idea and I now scheduled a different creative meeting for my team on a certain cadence, and we're exploring, like, it's almost like a brainstorming activity.
Yeah.
So we haven't completed the full cycle, but it's like, you do this brainstorming thing and here's the criteria for this meeting. And it all is that podcast. It's take out the negativity. And my joke was like, maybe I can't come to these meetings. I'm not that negative, but I, you know me, you see this face. So you know, you take these principles and then now all of a sudden I have this thing that as we're progressing has already come up with like some fantastic ideas. And now I throw this against, you know, the team that owns the area and like, hey, we're the data professionals that have access to all this data. We understand how the business works. We explored all of these things. Do these ideas resonate with improvements or things that would help the business? And every single one of them was, oh, of course, yeah. So it's like the extension of that is now, okay, we have all these great ideas. Throw them on a plot. Low impact, high impact. Low effort, high effort. Where does it fall on the grid, right? And all of a sudden, now I have from these creative sessions, which there are no holds barred, one falls way out on the periphery of like, we don't have that information. It could take a lot of effort to go get this. We would have to validate the, you know, how, like, is the impact worth the effort? But three of them all fell into like low effort. It's like, okay, great. Well, let's do this.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it all pans out. But it's like, where did that idea come from? The podcast, like the episode, completely. And those are the types of things that I think are so exciting about these types of conversations, because anybody can take this idea. Anybody can run with that. Mm-hmm. Right. And you're making big impacts in a business or potentially driving things from the bottom up to make improvements. And that to me is the fun part, because to dovetail onto this back, one of the most uncomfortable things that Mike was talking about is I was in the business where I was just executing, right? You have no, everything in a day is just whatever comes in the door, answering emails, you're helping facilitate, you're moving and shaking. And the more you get into the technology space, the more structured it is. And there's capacity and there's time and we review things and there's requirements and you tell me what I need to do. And then I execute on these things in a given time frame. So there's a lot of structure. And it's very hard, I think. And one of the points around why business intelligence is this fantastic conversation all the time is because if you take one of the phrases that have come out of, you know, Power BI, and I don't know if it was, I think pre-podcast, whatever, is think like the business, act like IT.
Yep.
And in my mind, a business intelligence person is in the most fun space, because the more technical you are, the more you understand about how to protect your time, but also realize that you've got to play with fire all the time in the business, because that is how they operate. There is no box for them. It's just, here's the priority. We're going to crank it out as fast as possible.
Yes.
And it's this awesome world where you get to like share a bunch of knowledge with them, but be okay with the chaos to some degree, mm-hmm. bring some structure around it, execute, and over time, hopefully get them onto the same, you know, pace of like, here's how we can execute, here's the things we do, whatever, but also interject and like burn something out if it needs to be, but still come back and manage my time. Right. And it's the same with technology. How do I build something that meets the business need, but then behind the scenes scales this up so it's there for them whenever they need it? And that's to me, I think, not only what this podcast does in terms of just pushing and pulling ideas, changing strategies, but also like the value around like a lot of the conversations we have, because it's in that really hard flux area. And there's lots of different roles. There's lots of different people, you know, that are all in this mishmash that resonate, I think, with a lot of the topics we talk about. And that resonates with me.
No, and I love that you're bringing the creativity thing to that. And you're actually seeing the fruits of that. It's like something that would have never happened if it wasn't for the conversation or a random.
Absolutely.
Never video. Happened. Yeah. Which is crazy. I want to share something too. Something Frank, like,
I'll allow it.
Yeah. Oh, you allow it. Good. I appreciate that. So that's another one of those little game changer things kind of thing. Like, you're like, you can talk. That's okay.
I won't mute you.
I don't know what kind of humor I have, but I just like I'm like the little one liner. I mean, that's your turn. That's yes. It's your turn, Tommy. Yeah. I shall pass the microphone to you.
you can speak. We're permitted. So honestly, I'm always and always will be very conscious of my skill set and the career and where I'm going, like from a never really feeling like I'm settled. I know I'm not necessarily the most intelligent person, but I know I'm going to read more and do more work than anyone in a given room. And that's usually been the case because I think I always have this fear of 2 months from now or 3 months from now of not having this, the required skill. And I've always been very conscious of that. And I always will be. Anything that's out on there, I'm going to read, I'm going to devour. And our first conversation was very conflicting for me because really up until our conversations, I've always been, in so many words, the one with all the knowledge in the space. Mm-hmm. And because again, through just sheer effort and then coming with you guys having the conversations going, wait a second. No, I've done like in, I think in the back of my head, it was like, have you read this as much as I have? And that was like back in my head. And I'm realizing very quickly, like, oh, you got to expand it. Just because you've done this or you've worked on this for so many hours, there's still a lot of different outlooks here and a lot of other sharper people out there. And that's been a huge for me, not just our conversations, but with clients. Like, I mean, since this podcast, I was a director of BI and now I'm somehow in some fashion running my own company. Quote unquote, it's technically a company. So, but like
technically, technically it takes on revenue and has expenses.
Yeah. Kind technically. Of thing. We're not selling sandwiches, but
there's like, an unlimited supply of cannolis coming in the front door from the business.
But just because my mindset is because I've done all this work that, oh, my thought process is going to be the way to go. And then working with clients. But I think the bigger thing is I am so grateful I've had the two of you through this journey with Fabric. I don't know what I would have done when Fabric came out. And again, having the fear of failure, the feel of the skills, and now Fabric comes integrated going, welcome to data engineering and data science and data warehousing now in Power BI. Your life has changed. What happened when we first heard of Fabric in May, to have our conversations to talk through, I think has been more than essential. That's been a catalyst, an imperative for where I'm at with Fabric. And I think where I think all of us are at to be able to talk it out.
I like it. I feel like, Donald says, this is like the Rocky story. Yeah. And I feel like Tom.
Kids that they love it.
Tommy's just had a moment. He's in his sweatpants at the top of the steps.
Yes,
I did Power BI.
I do have the outfit.
Yeah, I do have the outfit.
I do. I missed that one. That's great. Maybe at the next conference everyone's at. So Tommy, we're going. So we're all traveling to the MVP summit. I expect you to bring the Rocky outfit. Okay. And we need to get a Power BI logo or something on the middle of that shirt, and you just run around, and then you know we'll put big boxing gloves on you as you run around the Microsoft campus. You can just keep Rocky running around.
I will run behind you with a portable speaker.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Right, with the Rocky theme song going.
Yeah, I think it's amazing.
Mike can videotape it.
I will videotape all of this. We'll do a YouTube short for you on that okay. one.
I'm gonna bring the sweatpants and the shoes, and I will run out there. I'll get the.
We're gonna go find some steps. We're gonna go find some steps inside Microsoft.
I'm getting Rocky at this point, kind of thing.
This is happening.
Yeah. This is happening. I think
see Donald. Great ideas happen on this podcast.
I like this. We're gonna make this happen.
He's not the only Sicilian out here. My goodness. Sorry, Rocky Sicilian. No one, don't worry about it. No,
you don't say.
So. What, Tommy? You're Italian? After all these episodes, I just learned this one.
Really?
Yeah, Mike DiCarlo. Well, for you guys though, too. Like I know we've talked about, and I know we're getting near time, which is crazy, but we're on this journey now of Fabric, and one of the things that, like I said, I'll just end on, or at least say the last thing is, I am so glad that we have all these episodes on Fabric because where we were at when Fabric came out and one of the best things that we've
scary.
Done with our, yeah, yeah.
It was scary. Yeah. To be honest. Yeah. I would echo your sentiment there, Tommy. We've done, I think 22 episodes and then Steve Campbell and I did another three episodes around going a little bit deeper on like what is the Delta table? What's the Delta Lake, you know, places awesome. Look yeah. like, and how does that work? And Donald, you proper timing, Donald, with your comments, because I'm trying to say something impactful here and you start throwing out where is the best place to find cannolis in Chicago. So Tommy will have to answer that one okay. Before we leave here. But I would agree. When I saw Fabric come out, I was very excited because this is a world that I've been playing in for a long time. Probably 5 to 6 years before Microsoft gets into the game of Delta tables, I've been doing this stuff for a while. So very excited to see this coming to the Power BI ecosystem, but incredibly confused as to how do I govern it? Where do things go? Like, what's the best pattern I'm going to need to be building here? How does this stuff work with what I've been doing, which is like a medallion type architecture? A lot of questions came out of that. And again, part of what we do in the podcast is push into it, figure out what works for you. And give it some time a little bit, because people are always like, well, it came out. What's the best practice? How do we use it? And I think there's also a part of this too, where it literally just got released in November.
Yeah.
Chill, people. Like, we're going to need some like expert to kind of get through it a bit here. We're going to need people to like play around with it. People are going to need to make mistakes. People are going to need to find things that work. And that's going to take a little bit of time for us to start shaping it. We can make some best guesses based on what we know, and we'll make some good strides. But just getting in and clicking the buttons and turning things on and trying to load data, super helpful. And already the Microsoft product team has made great improvements to Fabric.
Thanks
to it's Scott. Gotten way less buggy, right? Yes. And it's been great. I think it's heading the right direction. And Microsoft, what I will say is Microsoft is investing an immense amount of time and people and effort to make Fabric really good. So, you know, if it doesn't do exactly everything you need right now, stay tuned. I think you're going to see improvements coming. I think
it's the same story. They're following the same playbook as Power BI.
I agree.
And you look at how successful Power BI has come and the amount of things that they probably learn as they get the tool out for people, right? Like, look, it doesn't take long, even though it was a long time ago, to remember how rough the tool was when it first came out. And seriously, we were still jazzed, because the core capabilities of it were something that changed the game for us and for sure Microsoft and how business intelligence operated and worked by leveraging tools that existed. They're doing the same thing with Fabric, right? To some degree. So it's like, get it out there. I think to your point, Mike, it is jarring, but super exciting at the same time.
And I agree.
There's going to be some rough around the edges stuff. Like, can we please get it in the central region? I really need it for my business.
It's there.
And things like that. Is it now?
I'm pretty sure it is.
It hasn't. I will recheck with my local rep. Or maybe talk about it at the MVB Summit. Anyway. Yes. I really need to throw some load against it.
Microsoft, right? I have words.
I know how it works, but I really want to know how it really works with my stuff. But things like that, also, I think are really fantastic to talk about, right? Where it breaks down these things, we can walk through the challenges and add value back, right? Just recently when we were doing the whole adoption framework, right? Kurt, fantastic that he was listening, took some of the frustration and took some positivity, and we updated documentation, right?
We updated documentation.
For us, if we're talking through some of those struggle points, guaranteed some of those are making their way back into the improvements of the tool. So there's a voice to some degree, I think, that if we in any very small way can produce some positive feedback or ways in which we're hearing how clients and businesses are struggling with certain points, that those make their way back, and that's fantastic. So I'm gonna wrap with my thing. 300 is amazing, and I'm surprised we're here, and I'm happy that I feel surprised, because I don't feel like slowing down. I love the podcast. I love what it does for me, and hopefully the community gets as much value out of it as I do. In terms of what I think about like the users or myself in recommendations, I would say if adopt, think like the business and act like IT, because when that thinking helps you solve business problems, not just do the stuff, it helps you think about solving the bigger business problems. And that's where really big impacts come in. And the second point, and I'm talking to myself too, constantly be okay with change. And learn new things. Always adapt. Always take different ideas and digest them and don't put up the block wall, right? Like, always do, like, do what we do here on the podcast. Be open to ideas, share, like, put it in the reactor, a word I couldn't, you know, put together before, and good outcomes come from that.
Spin the atoms around as fast as you can, smash them together, and hopefully an outcome comes out of it that, you know, create a wormhole, and then you can time travel and do all the other fun things you wish you could have done a long time ago. Before I go on a very big tangent there, I will say very much a big thank you to the community. We do this because we enjoy this, but we also do this because we enjoy engaging with you and the community. We really appreciate your time. We know your time is sensitive and valuable, and we for sure know that not everyone can drop everything they're doing on a Tuesday and Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. to go listen to us. So we really do appreciate your listenership. We are very much excited about the people who chat in the window here. So when you can join Lime, we really appreciate it. It adds a lot of additional fun and content. And we're just trying here to have fun. We're just trying to enjoy hanging out together and figuring out and pushing this thing called Power BI and now Fabric together, learning what we can learn here. So again, thank you very much. My family thanks you because this is part of our career now. And I got an opportunity to go speak at Microsoft a while ago. And they said, can you tell us more about, like, you know, Power BI? How can we do better? Just kind of give us a perspective from the world of the consultant space. And I had to start by saying, I just want to thank you. And I put a picture of my family on the screen. I said, thank you very much. I appreciate all the hard work you're doing here. I know a lot of people are critical of what you do and how you do it. But I just want to say, I appreciate the work that you've done. To be frankly honest, your work on this tool has impacted this family, and I have been able to make a career of it. So again, thank you very much, community, for engaging with us. And I hope that this podcast adds something to your career. I hope it helps benefit you in some way, shape, or form. And you either extract from here some knowledge pieces or can go in. Do the same to other people, right? So I guess our only thing would be here is multiply this. We can only talk to so many people at once. Go reach out to other people, help them, engage with them in the community. And if all else, please share the podcast with them as well so we can get them in the family as well. Anyways, with that, we'll close out. Tommy, where else can you find the podcast?
Well, let me make sure.
Tommy wants the final.
Oh, sorry. Tommy, do your final statement and then tell us where you get the podcast from.
I'm going to echo very much of what Mike and Seth said. Honestly, like you said, this has impacted our lives. I am so proud of us we're staying true to what we wanted to do with the podcast from episode one or episode zero in terms of how we wanted to have this discussion, what we wanted to talk about. We're not going down the interview path and let's have a guest. Like the fact that we're sticking to, I think, the heart of, I think, our friendships. And I think that's one of the coolest things too, is because of this community, because of our job, we have now established and fostered amazing friendships. Just, I'm so lucky to know the two of you, the people I've met on this and the same thing. You're learning about work during work or after work for work on a work day. And the fact that you keep coming back is incredible to me. And I love this platform because it can be game changing. It's not just a tool, but the fact that it can impact a company, it can impact the team, it can impact a person. And it's just, we're all nerds in that space and with data, but the fact that we all have that common goal and the fact that we all have that kind of common outlook with the difference of opinions, which is maybe the thing I cherish the most. But let me answer Dan's question too. The two places you want to get a cannoli in Chicago, first place is going to be on Addison in suburbia, and it's on Lake Street called Gino's, or just known as the Italian Bakery. The second place you want a cannoli is going to be Scafuri's on the very famous Taylor Street. And you can only go there to both of these places Tuesday to Saturday because, like most Italian bakeries, they're closed on Mondays. That's how it is because people want to go to mass on Sundays and they get the bread, that kind of thing, because you need to have the bread on Sundays for dinner. Those are your two places.
I like it, Tommy. And so if you're ever in Chicago, hit up Tommy on Twitter. Make sure you say hi. He'll come give you the best cannoli and give you the cannoli tour of Chicago. So he knows where all the good food is. And I'll say this. Every time I've eaten with Tommy in Chicago, I've always had an amazing meal and a wonderful time. So that is one thing I've also learned about Tommy is wherever he goes, he goes, where do I need every cab ride I've ever been in with Tommy, no matter where we are in the world. Tommy's like, where's the best place to eat? My tummy's hungry. Where's the best place to eat?
I mean, if I like you, I'm going to feed you.
So anyways, thank you all so much. We love your time and appreciate your time here. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For many more, hopefully coming on in the future. We appreciate you and we'll see you next time. Thank you.